KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Eddie Hughes. My co-host, Jim Bartko, wasn't able to join us today. I usually start the show out with that tagline, it's a great day to be a Bulldog, and I like to think it's always a great time to be a Bulldog, but this week, it's also a somber time for many people around the Fresno State Athletics Department and for the entire community after the passing of Mr. John Wallace this week. John was a beloved person in the community for being perhaps the most iconic TV news anchor in Fresno and definitely one of the most talented. He's also well known for his volunteer work in the community between the West Care Foundation, Valley Children's Hospital, and of course, Fresno State Athletics. But he's done a lot to make the Valley and Fresno a better place. And I know one of those places near and dear to John's heart was Fresno State, this university, this athletics program. He spoke with me fairly often about his beloved Bulldogs. He posted constantly on social media on Facebook, adding his own colorful commentary to all those posts after each game on a variety of sports, football, basketball, baseball, softball, up until those final days. And I want to talk more about John Wallace and that legacy that he leaves behind in our community and on our campus. And one way to do that is by speaking with today's guest, joining us in studio for the first time, Mr. Pat Ogle. Many of you listening probably know Pat because he's been a staple at Fresno State working in fundraising for what, Pat, 3 or 4 decades now? Not to age you too much.
I don't mind. It's 35 years associated with the Bulldog Foundation.
So 35 years. And Pat, I'm excited to have you on today. I've known you since I was probably around 5 years old with my dad dragging me into your office when he was there volunteering as a fundraiser for the Bulldog Foundation. And he would take me into your office to turn in his pledge cards and all those different things. And your institutional knowledge of this athletics department is tough to rival across campus. I know you knew John Wallace well and worked with him when he was involved with the Bulldog Foundation. He served as board president for a while there. And when you reflect on John's life and contributions, what sticks out to you the most?
Well, lots of things. And you started by saying that you normally start with, it's a great day to be a Bulldog. So I think the transition there is to what John Wallace's license plate said for all of these years, and that was, go you dogs. And that stood out on his red Corvette for a number of years. But I really feel blessed to have shared many paths with John. And it started in the broadcasting, because prior to the Bulldog Foundation becoming executive director in 1982, I was in news and sports broadcasting television also.
Hence the great voice that everyone's hearing right
now. I'll leave that up to your audience. But so John, it was at that same time that he was starting his career when I was starting in the 70s. So we had that running across each other. And then when I became executive director and John became so close to supporting athletics and enjoying all of that, we had that. We also served on the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame board together. And we can talk a little more about how John assisted us in so many different ways. So all of those connections, we had daughters who swam together at Hoover High School. So John Wallace, and everybody has been hearing with his services memorial on Monday, all of the great attributes, and they're all true. He was definitely an icon. You mentioned some of the different things he was connected with, and that didn't include his Clovis service on their planning commission and with their educational department, and he also supported the Kremen School of Education here at Fresno State. When we honored John or recognized, because John would have hated the word honored, but when we recognized John, the Hall of Fame, a couple of years ago with a community service award, so I'm talking to him and it's on, okay, well, John, just give me kind of a estimate of how many times you have been an MC doing auctions for Central Valley, all these different organizations and so on. And it was about 500. And how many people did that touch through just the support that he helped generate if it was an auction or just the fact that he was conducting the program? So, yeah, there's just so many there, you know, there's so many memories and we can talk more about those.
What do you think it was about John that drove him to make a difference in so many organizations with so many benefit groups in the community? What was it that made him want to be involved with so many different projects?
Well, I think it was his love of people. And, you know, John came from the Bay Area to start his radio. Well, he had started his radio career up in the Bay Area, but then came here to Kino and then eventually television news at Channel 30 and Channel 47. But he obviously came to love this particular community. But I think even though John was so humble, you don't get into some of these businesses without being competitive and wanting to do the best you can. So I think his competitiveness in the sense of wanting to do service drove a lot of that. And I don't know, how many nights a week does 500 represent besides, you know, working your normal job shift of assisting that? And he did such a great job at it, but he'd step on stage, so to speak, whether that was the television broadcast or one of these events, and just do a tremendous professional job with humor and good depth of whatever is being talked about, and step off that stage and was just John behind the lights. And that's unique among entertainers or broadcasters or whatever. And before I forget it, because I can do that nowadays, one thing we haven't mentioned of all his service, and this is tied to athletics also and to Fresno State, was the California Bowl and their run of California Bowls. And John was one of the originators of being on their board and eventually became one of their presidents. So I don't want to forget the California Bowl.
For those who aren't familiar with his path and how he came to this community, talk a little bit more about that. I know he played baseball at the University of Arizona. A lot of people don't know that fun fact. But how did he end up in Fresno as the person we all know and recognize from his broadcasting days?
John grew up in the Bay Area, as you mentioned, after high school, went to the University of Arizona for a couple of years and then joined the Marines. And he was in the Marines, both active and reserve, for 7 or 8 years, returned to the Bay Area and started thinking about, okay, what do I really want to do? Got interested in radio broadcasting news first and got a job or two there. And then a position opened up here at Kino. So he took that job, did that for a couple of years, and then went to Channel 30. So that was kind of his background in getting into broadcasting.
Do you remember that first time you met John and how he kind of came into the fold with the Bulldog Foundation?
Well, the first time I would have met John was the broadcasting. and I was doing sports at that time for Channel 24, and then he was doing news and sports for Kino Radio. So we ran across each other that time. So that would have been the first time, and then the association because of the broadcasting careers. So specifically to the Bulldog Foundation, John, he says how he got interested in athletics and Fresno State athletics in particular were because of his children growing up, young age. You mentioned it, Eddie. Mm-hmm. Your dad brought you into the Bulldog Foundation, took you to events and so on. Same thing with John. They were interested also. And so he got interested. So then a next step was becoming a Bulldog Foundation member. And then a next step was becoming a volunteer, a fundraiser for us as we did our spring fund drive. And then becoming a trustee on the Bulldog Foundation board and going through eventually the officer chairs and serving as president. As John's presidency was ending, there was a transition being made within the athletic department at Fresno State, and they were looking at centralizing a little more than what had been going on with the volunteer approach and so on, because it was expanding and they needed more fundraisers and so on. So we went from a board of trustees to a board of directors, a smaller group. But John transitioned as a recent past president of the board of trustees to the board of directors. And he served another 5 years or so, including chairman of the board of directors. So he had about a 10-year leadership as a volunteer, leadership for the foundation.
Just another example of him caring and kind of climbing that ladder and using his time and talents to really make a difference. And I know you had mentioned off air that you hadn't seen him for a while. He'd been struggling with some health challenges for quite a while, but you talked to him recently. Can you share some of those conversations and just his mentality and things like that in dealing with his health challenges?
Well, and his health challenges obviously were very serious for the last several years and eventually led to his passing. And it was pulmonary. And when he first started on oxygen, it was basically at night, and then it became 24 hours a day. But you would phone John, and he was immediately up. I mean, I'm saying up because I'm assuming all of those times he wasn't feeling all that great. And so he always had that very positive attitude. As far as individual conversations, it was just kind of catching up and talking about things, but the enthusiasm was always there. And one of the things that always appreciated, another thing that always appreciated about John was he was very positive in his support of Fresno State and athletics and the Bulldog Foundation, because lots of controversies obviously come up. But he would be the first one to say, okay, let's take a look at this side of it and think in terms of, you know, what the long range thing is. So even when things weren't always going so well, and if we're talking wins or losses or whatever, and you would have seen his posts and so on too of saying, hey, hang in there or whatever that message was.
Yeah, win or lose, that always seemed like at the end, he closed out his message with a positive spin, something that on the bright side of things, there's this. And I always appreciated that about his take on things. You know, it was never gloom and doom and end of the world type thing if the team lost the game or something like that. He had that perspective to add to it. And I think that's important for the community and for supporters of Fresno State. But you mentioned your daughter swam together. I believe John's daughter also swam at Fresno State.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people may not know his son-in-law is one of the all-time Bulldog greats, Trent Dilfer, the former NFL and Bulldog quarterback. But have you talked with Trent or with any of John's family members in the days since his passing?
Not Trent or Cass, the daughter, and they met at Fresno State, and Taylor Fransman. I guess we haven't said that, but if people aren't aware, John chose Wallace when he got into his broadcasting career, but Fransman is the family name. And Taylor Fransman was a pole vaulter here in 2007 and a couple years after that.
Full athletic family.
Absolutely. And some of the other members who were not athletes' children attended Fresno State also. So there was that great family lineage. I have not talked, as we're doing this interview, to Cass or Trent. They're obviously coming in for the services, and Trent is delivering a eulogy there on behalf of the family. I've talked to Sherry, John's widow. So, you know, it's obviously always a very difficult time, but there's a great family support system there. And John created that. If you read any of the articles, and Bill McCune did a wonderful reflection in the paper, and Rick Bentley has been doing articles. But what comes out of that is the notes. You mentioned the social media, but for family, he wrote personal notes. And one of the children said it was almost like poetry. And how wonderful to have that.
Those memories left behind, yeah. It's an amazing thing. And, you know, I'm wondering through all of your experience with John, is there's probably a lot of stories that come to mind, but is there any particular story that comes up that you think really captures his personality or just a fun story that would be great to share?
Well, I'm going to share this. I've also blessed to be asked to do a eulogy on Monday at 11:30 at People's Church. And I'm going to share this story because when I interviewed John when he was president, we did a little column thing for our Bulldog Foundation newspaper and so on. He shared the very first story that he ever covered in broadcasting, even though that goes back obviously over 40 years ago, and it's a funny story. But it is just John's character to have this kind of story in his particular life. So he's working for this radio station in the Bay Area, and they give him an assignment, his first assignment, to go out, and there was some controversy about land and how it was going to be used and so on. And so he is supposed to go out and interview. And I don't know that you remember, but there was a singer a long time ago, Lou Gottlieb was his name, and he owned this land. So he is going out to interview Mr. Gottlieb. Well, unbeknownst to John until he got there, the land in question was currently being used as the nudist colony. So his first interview that he did was surrounded by folks with no clothes on, and he was the only one with it talking to Mr. Gottlieb. And he just could belly laugh about that kind of thing. But that was John. I mean, he just enjoyed life, and we enjoyed him.
As you mentioned, his memorial services will be 11:30 a.m. Monday at People's Church. I'm sure it'll be a great turnout with all the folks who he's touched there to pay their respects. And certainly he'll be dearly missed. We hope his work forever makes our region a better place, and I think it will. And along those lines, Pat, talk about your life's work with the Bulldog Foundation and what drives you and inspires you about your job.
Well, we're semi-retired now, but in 1981 was coming to a close. I actually had worked on the Bulldog Foundation fund drive as a volunteer for a few years prior to that. And I was going to become a board member in January of 1982. I was in broadcasting at that particular time, and there were some changes being made. And so I started thinking about, is there another line of work or whatever? Because I didn't really want to go somewhere else in broadcasting to a larger market because of family and so on. So the opportunity was offered to become the executive director. So I became executive director of the Bulldog Foundation in 1982. And we did that for 28 years, till about 7 years ago, and retired as executive director, but continued to work part-time for the foundation, doing special projects, talking to people about planned gifts, legacy gifts kinds of things for athletics. So that's the timeline. So when I came into it, Lynn Elifson, about 7 years prior, had started the team concept of fundraising for the Bulldog Foundation. You take a group of volunteers, individuals, you put them on teams where they're competing against each other a little bit for the amount of pledges and memberships they're bringing in. And so that had already begun. The Bulldog Foundation at that time, though, was looking to expand out a little bit away from the Fresno metropolitan area with the fundraising and have a little more public face. And I'm coming from broadcasting, that all worked well. So that was our beginning. And for 28 years, we were in charge of that spring fund drive. And it wasn't the administration of it. It was the volunteers like your dad who made it go. I mean, just had the heart for Fresno State Athletics. Now, it was a wonderful time because of the success that we started to see. And some of that had to do with the scholarship monies that were raised to get more student athletes here. But it was just the golden time to be associated with Fresno State Athletics and all of the wonderful personality and coaches and so on that came down during those years, and the facilities being improved and so on. But it all comes back down to the core group of volunteers who were out there telling their friends and colleagues and whomever, neighbors, saying, hey, you should get involved with this and have a membership. So what I remember the most would be the volunteers.
You mentioned 1982 when you first came in. I think people might be familiar with who the Bulldogs quarterback was at that time. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Jeff Tedford, the new Fresno State head football coach, it seems like you guys were on about the same path there.
Yes, he obviously is a few years younger, but but yes, you're absolutely right. He was, and there was the California Bowl big victory in 82, and then 83 comes the NIT Men's Basketball Championship, and Boyd Grant and Jim Sweeney and all of our great coaches that were there then, and we have great coaches now. But yeah, it was a fun time.
Why is it so important to Fresno State's mission? I'm sure this is similar today as it was when you first started on campus, but why is it so important to get the community involved, whether it be donating or buying tickets or engaging however they can with this university?
Well, I guess it's what you enjoy supporting. So a university can obviously exist and be an outstanding university and not have any athletic program or one at a much lower level of participation. But when we again started at that particular time in the early 80s, it was a little bit different in that Fresno State was the major show in town. We didn't have the casino operations at that particular time. We didn't have the Save Mart Center where all of these different entertainment acts were coming in, huge shows and so on. The AAA baseball team, it wasn't AAA then, but became the Grizzlies. You know, that was a summertime kind of activity. So if people were interested in athletics and enjoyed athletics, Fresno State was the main show. And so just getting involved and liking to support something. Then, as many people have said in the past, athletics can be the front porch to the entire university. I mean, there's the reach out when you do have 40,000 people in a football stadium or you have 10,000 or whatever at basketball and all of the other sports. People are being introduced many times for the first time to that particular university, and that was the case in Fresno State's case. So it is what it is, and there's obviously lots of the transitions that have gone on since then, and now you have the Power Five, and you know what is the future for programs like Fresno State, and again, under our current direction of your co-host Jim Bartko, of looking at the future and what can be done, but again, facilities dictates a lot of it, and support dictates a lot of it. So you're selling that, and you're selling, as John Wallace did, the student-athlete concept, because we can be proud of the academic progress and current status of our student-athletes. So it's just a great time and obviously a lot of energy in this area.
Definitely. And you mentioned a few moments ago that you're semi-retired, as you called it. And I remember a number of years ago, I think it was at the Save Mart Center during a game, we just kind of met on the concourse and had a little celebration for your retirement at the time. But it seems like you're still around campus quite a bit. I mean, you're pretty fond of this place, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. My wife and I, we both graduated from here in 1965. And so it's been 52 years or so of having that association and remained in Fresno. So yes, all of that and very proud of that. And the part-time thing is just, I mean, it's good for me to have some fun things to do and the institutional knowledge kinds of things to be able to offer some of that.
As I mentioned earlier, I've known you since I was really young. My parents never necessarily had the means to make that transformational gift on their own. But my dad worked over 20 years volunteering for the BDF and cold calling businesses or people he knew, just trying to get them to sign up for season tickets, donate a scholarship or a half scholarship, whatever they could afford and whatever they could do. But I think he got pretty good at that before he passed away in 2001. I remember when he was on hospice and you came by our house and interviewed him for a story in the Bulldog Foundation newspaper at the time. And I always thought that was a great way to reach out and kind of connect with, you know, the people in the community, the support system, and his hometown pride was as strong as anyone I've ever known. And I think that's what Fresno State Athletics is all about. And you already touched on that a little bit. It's for a lot of people, a game might be their first introduction to the university. And we heard Pat Hill, he used to say the university was the porch light of this region, kind of that shining beacon that nationally people learn about Fresno through what Fresno State's doing on ESPN or on CBS or wherever they come in contact. But I mean, is that really what the university comes down to as far as a pride point for the community?
Well, I think absolutely, Eddie. And one of the other factors is that being in an agriculturally based area and that work in the soil and hard work and long hours and that type of thing, that people, when they do want to support something, they'd give it their all. And whether it is wins and losses, and we certainly had that as it built up, and we still obviously see that today, there is still that strong core of people who say, this is my university. And for those people, whether they attended, and we did a survey one time, and you know, over 50% of the people never attended that were members of the Bulldog Foundation and supporting never attended Fresno State. But they continued to do that, and it is definitely that feeling of being associated, and the university takes pride, and they should, in how many first-time college graduates there are, first-in-the-family graduates. And that's been the same story, and that's certainly a nice thread to have pride in.
I think there was an important story in the Fresno Bee recently about that core fan base, you know, those people in the early 1980s who really earned that Red Wave nickname for the school's fans. That generation's getting older now. Some people have passed away, such as John Wallace. And from your perspective, how much work needs to be done to reignite that similar passion in the younger generations that are coming up now?
Well, it is difficult, and it's not just difficult for the Bulldog Foundation or an athletic program. It's difficult for any service kinds of groups and nonprofits. It is entirely generational kinds of issues. In the 80s and 90s, I already mentioned about the entertainment factors and that type of thing, but there was also less electronics. There was no basically social media as we see it today. And all organizations are facing that. And that was one of the things that the Bulldog Foundation had to face. It was becoming more difficult to find younger volunteers who had the same passion or wanted to give the same effort as their fathers or their mothers did during their volunteering and being Bulldog Foundation members and volunteers. So that is why it kind of transitioned into a more centralized, where you had the professional staff doing a lot of what the volunteers used to do. it's a difficult situation. And you're in that age group or closer to it, obviously a lot closer to it than I am. And so, I mean, you have your smartphone here. I have a flip phone here, okay? And you're on it all the time, just like other folks, and it's constant. So I guess winning becomes even more important.
Yeah, you know? Winning can heal a lot, I think, and get people out there. But I think you're right. You see it across the board at any school nowadays. They struggle a bit more to have those big crowds and big attendance numbers with so many games on TV. You could watch them on your smartphone if you want to. You could watch them on your tablet. So there's a lot of different ways for people to consume the product without actually going to the stadium necessarily. But I think it's going to be something to keep an eye on because, you know, I myself feel that need to spread passion between people of my age group and keep them involved and keep them engaged. So I hope that continues at the university. And I know my next question for you will be a tough one, I'm sure, because you've been here for so many great historical moments at Fresno State. But what are some of your best memories of Fresno State athletics? And do you have a favorite moment or a favorite game, a favorite season that comes to mind?
Well, and there's not going to be one that stands out of that far above all the rest. But I am going to say again, my favorite memories because of my association and in my particular position was meeting all of those volunteers. And then that ties into members, obviously. And then those volunteers who became trustees and, you know, became very close to. That's the number one thing. Relationships is always going to be, at least in my book, the number one thing. But when you get around to actual events, we have always enjoyed trying to go to attend as many of the different sports other than just football or just men's basketball or those two. So we have continued enjoying both male and female sports at Fresno State. The years of going the early 80s and then into the 90s, I was able to, and I was very fortunate that Channel 24 was actually covering Fresno State doing their football, basketball things at that particular time. And so when the Bulldogs went on their NIT run, I was doing color work when we went to Michigan State and went to Oregon State and so on, and got to go to New York, not on the air, but just to attend. Well, it was my first time to New York for Kathy and myself. And so, you know, that was a pretty big event. And then to win that. And then to realize that that particular basketball team could have made a run, probably a pretty successful run. I'm not saying they were going to be national champions of the NCAA, but how well they were playing at the end of the year, and it was special. And then, like a lot of other folks, being in attendance at the Freedom Bowl and seeing Coach Sweeney's team and Trent Dilfer that we mentioned earlier, beat USC, was not able to be present in person at either of our national championships, first in softball in 98, followed it on the air and things, and then obviously in 2008 with baseball, the same thing. And we did get to see that. I mean, that was television, all the games leading up to the championship. You know, those have to be pretty major highlights, but I don't want to take away from just going to the events and enjoying and seeing the student athletes and having had the opportunity to meet some of them on a little more personal basis and seeing them succeed and then become such great community members, whether it's in the Central Valley or wherever they went to. But to hear those stories, pretty amazing.
It's really what brings it all together. And I'll give you another toughie out there. If you had to pick your Mount Rushmore of Fresno State athletics, whether it be student athletes, coaches, just anyone involved, who are some of the folks in that conversation?
Well, there's lots of them, and I mentioned serving on the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame Board, and John did also, and then being involved in actually the induction of our annual inductees into the Hall of Fame. Lots and lots and lots of them are obviously former Fresno State Bulldogs. So, you know, I don't know that I'm going to name names, Eddie, just because, you know, if I thought and wrote a list, it'd be longer than we'd probably have time to name all of them. But we have been so fortunate in that core of coaches in the 80s and 90s, all of the sports, not just Jim Sweeney in football and Boyd Grant in basketball, but Leilani Overstreet and Bob Spencer, and it was Dutch Warmerdam, and then Red Estes and Bob Fraley, and and I'm obviously not mentioning all the coaches, and they stayed for so long. I mean, they stayed during those 20 years or, you know, whatever it was. That kind of continuity in the athletic administration that we had. So there's all those kinds of folks. And then, like you say, if you started having to name names for the student athletes, I don't think that'd be fair.
That's a big, long list there. You don't want to leave anyone out, I'm sure. Right. But we're running out of time here, but I can't let you go without asking about one of the big looming projects fundraising-wise, which is Bulldogs Stadium renovation, potentially one of the most transformational projects in decades here for this athletics program. But how great do you think it will be for the fans to have that stadium modernized, and what can it mean to this athletics program as a whole?
Well, I would just go back to when in the football situation, when the Bulldog Stadium was built on campus, and what did we see? I mean, that was more people enjoying the sport and so on, because it was such an upgrade from playing in the prior stadium. So you and I have been talking about the difficulties right now in trying to stay at a level of national interest and taking pride in the program. Well, we're going to have a lot of folks taking pride in this particular renovation project and fundraising, because it is lots of dollars. But when it is successful and you have the new look, it is one of the things that is going to bring us back to, maybe if we've fallen away a little bit from some of the things we saw in the past, that can make that change.
And I'm sure we'll have folks like John Wallace, folks who have passed on, looking down very fondly upon some of those things when they do come to fruition. But Pat, we appreciate you being with us today. If there's anything else you'd like to share on air, just closing remarks for John, about John, or for his family, we'd love to have you do that.
Well, God bless John, and certainly condolences during this mourning and grieving process for the Franzman family.
Pat Ogle, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your knowledge and passion for the Bulldogs. I think I can speak for many when I say we greatly appreciate the impact you've made and continue to make on this university. So thanks for being with us. We hope to have you on air again.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thanks again to today's guest, Pat Ogle, longtime fundraiser for the Fresno State Athletics Department, and thank you for listening. Please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSRSports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.